Hello and welcome to your daily AI in-depth report for the 8th of August 2026. I'm Alex, and today we're looking at a security issue that says something important about the next phase of artificial intelligence. The central idea is simple. The security boundary for AI agents is no longer just the model or its API. It is the entire workflow around the model, repositories, tools, plugins, cloud services, collaboration platforms, credentials, and the people and systems that rely on them.
And I'm Ingo. I'll be looking at what this means beyond engineering, for business strategy, economic risk, public policy, geopolitics, and society. The immediate trigger is a public account of what has been described as the Hugging Face incident, presented by OpenAI at Black Hat and subsequently released on video. The available source, Simon Willison's coverage and the linked presentation, describes the episode as an accidental attack.
We should begin with an important qualification. The briefing material does not provide enough detail to establish the exact attack path, the affected assets, the technical root cause, the full scope of impact, or the precise remediation. So we should not invent those details or make unsupported judgments about culpability. But even with that limitation, the episode provides a strong strategic signal. When highly capable AI systems interact with shared digital ecosystems, unintended actions can have security consequences.
That distinction between what we know and what we can infer is especially important. We are not treating this as proof of a particular vulnerability at OpenAI or Hugging Face. We are treating it as evidence that the security failure modes of agentic systems are becoming operational rather than hypothetical. In other words, the story matters not only because of the incident itself, but because of the category of risk it represents.
Let's define an AI agent in practical terms. A conventional chatbot usually receives a prompt and returns text. An agent can interpret an objective, decide what steps are needed, select tools, retrieve information, write files, call application programming interfaces, modify repositories, send messages, provision cloud resources, or publish an artifact. It may also retry actions, delegate tasks, and adapt its behavior based on what it finds.
That creates a major change in the risk model. With a normal software application, designers generally know which functions are being called and in what sequence. An agent has more discretion. It is interpreting natural language instructions and context, then making choices within a set of permissions. Each individual action may be authorized, but the sequence as a whole can still produce an outcome nobody intended.
A useful analogy is to compare an agent with a junior employee who can access many company systems. The employee may have legitimate objectives and no malicious intent. But if the employee misunderstands an instruction, trusts a misleading document, uses a powerful credential incorrectly, and has no approval checkpoint, the result can still be serious. An AI agent can make those mistakes at much greater speed and scale.
And that is why the unit of risk is increasingly the workflow, not the model. A model can be well protected in isolation and still become unsafe when connected to browsers, repositories, payment systems, databases, messaging tools, or deployment pipelines. Security emerges from the combination of capability, context, identity, tool access, and the rules governing action.
This challenges a common enterprise assumption. Put a frontier model behind a secure API gateway, apply ordinary identity and access management, and the problem is largely solved. Those controls remain essential, but they are not sufficient. An agent can use a narrow permission repeatedly, combine several individually permitted actions, or follow instructions embedded in material it retrieves.
That last point leads to indirect prompt injection. The phrase can sound like a specialized technical concern, but the executive issue is broader. External web pages, repository documentation, issue threads, model cards, datasets, tool outputs, and uploaded documents may contain language that influences the agent. The system may read that language as if it were an instruction, even though it came from an untrusted source.
The architectural principle should be that retrieved content is data, not authority. The agent may inspect a document to answer a question, but language inside that document should not be able to grant new permissions, reveal secrets, override organizational policy, expand the task, or invoke an unrelated tool. The system needs to distinguish between system instructions, verified policy, user intent, and untrusted content.
This is also where safety and cybersecurity converge. Traditionally, safety might mean preventing harmful or discriminatory outputs, while cybersecurity means protecting systems and data from attack. In an agentic system, a model's behavioral tendencies, its authorization model, its tool interfaces, its dependency chain, monitoring, and escalation processes jointly determine whether the operation is safe.
The Hugging Face dimension is strategically significant because the platform sits within the AI supply chain. It supports discovery, distribution, collaboration, and reuse of models and related artifacts. AI artifacts are not always equivalent to ordinary software packages. They can include model weights, configuration files, executable code, data processing logic, documentation, prompts, and natural language instructions that influence downstream behavior.
That means the supply chain question has two layers. The first is familiar. Can an artifact contain malicious code or an insecure dependency? The second is more subtle. Can it influence how an agent reasons and acts? A model card, a tool description, or a repository file may not look like executable software, but it can still shape an automated system's decisions.
For builders, the first practical response is to separate reasoning from execution. An agent may be allowed to inspect low-risk context, formulate a plan, and simulate possible outcomes. It should not automatically receive broad production credentials simply because it needs to reason about a task. The transition from proposing an action to performing it should involve a separate control layer.
For consequential operations, that control layer should usually include explicit approval or a tightly constrained policy gate. Examples include publishing artifacts, changing repository settings, deleting data, provisioning infrastructure, transmitting sensitive information, or modifying access controls. Human approval only works if it is meaningful, though. A reviewer needs to see the intended action, affected resources, permissions involved, and the available rollback path.
The second principle is least privilege, applied not only to tools but to individual transactions. Avoid giving an agent a generic, long-lived token with broad access. Use scoped credentials, short-lived tokens, allolisted resources, environment-specific identities, and transaction limits. Write access might be limited to a sandbox, a particular branch, a namespace, or a project directory.
This has an economic benefit as well as a security benefit. Limiting authority reduces the expected cost of failure. If an agent can affect only one test environment, an error may cost time. If it can alter production systems, publish to customers, or access sensitive data, the same class of error may become a regulatory event, an operational outage, or a reputational crisis.
The third principle is containment and reversibility. We cannot prevent every model error or every misleading input. So agent workflows should use sandboxes, dry run modes, quotas, change windows, immutable logs, versioned artifacts, automatic snapshots, and tested rollback procedures. Single quote.
That question should become a standard investment test. Businesses often compare the cost of adding controls with the benefit of faster automation. But the relevant comparison also includes blast radius and recovery time. A system that is slightly slower but easy to pause and restore may be more economically valuable than a system that is highly autonomous but opaque and difficult to contain.
The fourth principle is observability. Monitoring only prompts and final outputs is not enough. Organizations need traces of tool calls, delegated credentials, external inputs, retrieved context, policy decisions, state changes, approvals, outputs, and failed attempts. This is the action history of the agent.
That history supports more than incident response. It helps distinguish a model error from a bad tool interface, a policy failure, an identity control failure, or a compromised dependency. Without that distinction, companies may respond by broadly restricting the system, losing useful capability without addressing the actual problem.
It also improves testing. Teams can replay an agent's decisions, examine which retrieved content influenced it, and identify where a policy boundary was crossed. In time, this should become similar to tracing in distributed software systems, except the system includes probabilistic reasoning and natural language context.
For product leaders, autonomy should not be treated as a binary feature. It is better understood as a graduated ladder. At the lowest level, an assistant drafts, explains, and recommends. At the next level, it performs reversible tasks in a sandbox. Higher levels permit production execution within pre-authorized boundaries. Open-ended operation should be reserved for environments that are well characterized, isolated, observable, and recoverable.
This graduated approach also makes deployment easier to govern. You can specify which autonomy level is appropriate for a particular task. For example, an agent might be allowed to summarize a ticket automatically, propose a code change in a temporary branch, and prepare a deployment plan. But merging into a protected branch or changing production infrastructure could require approval.
There is a commercial implication. Enterprises are more likely to adopt agents when vendors provide credible controls, policy configuration, role-based authorization, sandboxing, approval queues, audit trails, simulation, data boundaries, and incident management interfaces. Vendors competing mainly on unconstrained autonomy may produce impressive demonstrations, but high trust adoption will depend on operational discipline.
That leads to a procurement question. Buyers should assess not only model performance, benchmark results, and cost per task. They should ask how the vendor detects unsafe actions, pauses agents, revokes credentials, communicates incidents, preserves logs, and incorporates lessons into product design. A supplier that can explain its failures clearly may be more mature than one that claims never to have problems.
Public incident reporting is uncomfortable, but it can serve an important ecosystem function. It allows other organizations to update their threat models before experiencing the same failure. Of course, reporting must avoid exposing sensitive details or enabling copycat attacks. But a culture of careful disclosure can improve collective resilience.
The strategic issue becomes even larger when we consider dependencies. An organization may host a model domestically, yet still depend on external model hubs, code repositories, cloud APIs, identity providers, tool registries, and agent frameworks. Those dependencies determine where data flows, who can alter artifacts, which legal jurisdictions apply, and how quickly an incident can be investigated.
This is the less discussed side of AI sovereignty. Sovereignty is often framed as domestic compute, local data, or the ability to train national models. But there is also operational sovereignty, the ability to control and understand the dependencies through which agents act. A state or company can own a model and still lack control over the ecosystem that gives the model practical power.
For critical infrastructure, that does not mean cutting off global platforms. Isolation would be impractical and would limit innovation. It does mean identifying critical dependencies, maintaining trusted mirrors or controlled registries for approved artifacts, requiring provenance and security review for production components, and separating experimental environments from operational ones.
There is a geopolitical dimension too. As agents interact with public digital infrastructure, states and firms will need clearer expectations around testing, disclosure, safe research, and accidental harm. If an autonomous system causes damage, affected parties may not know whether they are seeing negligence, a research experiment, a compromised agent, or deliberate offensive activity.
That uncertainty can complicate incident response. The technical event may be contained, but the political interpretation may continue. Clear logs, transparent communication, and established escalation channels can help distinguish an accident from an attack and reduce the chance of overreaction.
In strategic terms, reliable incident handling becomes part of deterrence and stability. If organizations cannot determine what happened or who controlled a system, they may assume the worst. That is particularly dangerous when autonomous tools operate across borders or touch systems used by governments, financial institutions, or critical suppliers.
Let's turn to concrete actions for executives over the next 30 days. First, establish an inventory of agentic authority. Identify every deployed or planned system that can call tools, access repositories, use browser or computer control, modify records, send communications, or act in cloud and software as a service systems.
For each system, map permissions, data access, external dependencies, production reach, and the people responsible for it. Many organizations know which models they use but do not know which agents can act through those models. The inventory should focus on authority and consequences, not just on model names.
Second, run a benign but harmful exercise. Do not limit threat modeling to malicious prompts. Ask how a well-intentioned agent could cause damage through a mistaken interpretation, misleading external content, overbroad credentials, repeated retries, an erroneous escalation from testing to production, or a failure to recognize that an action is irreversible.
This type of exercise is valuable because it crosses departmental boundaries. Security teams may understand permissions, product teams may understand user workflows, and policy teams may understand regulatory obligations. The most realistic failures often occur between those domains.
Third, require approval gates for irreversible actions. Define which tasks agents can perform autonomously, which require confirmation, and which are prohibited. Put those rules into permissions and tooling, not only into prompts. A prompt saying, "Do not delete customer data," is not an adequate control if the agent has a delete-capable credential.
Fourth, test retrieval and tool use boundaries. Deliberately expose systems to untrusted instructions in ordinary business artifacts, documents, websites, tickets, repository files, and tool outputs. Then verify that verified policy remains in control and that the agent cannot turn untrusted text into authority.
Fifth, make incident readiness a launch criterion. Before scaling an agentic product, verify that the team can pause it, revoke credentials, reconstruct its action history, identify affected resources, notify stakeholders, and restore state. If those actions are theoretical rather than rehearsed, the system is not ready for broad autonomous deployment.
There is a broader lesson here about organizational design. AI governance cannot remain a committee that reviews model cards after the technology has already been integrated into workflows. Governance needs to be connected to architecture, procurement, identity management, platform engineering, legal risk, and business continuity.
Exactly. The most effective controls are built into the system. A policy engine can prevent an unauthorized tool call. A sandbox can restrict file and network access. A short-lived token can expire automatically. A versioned environment can make rollback practical. A good interface can give a human reviewer enough information to make an informed decision.
And the social dimension should not be overlooked. If employees believe that agents are always correct, they may approve actions too quickly. If they distrust the systems completely, the productivity benefits will not materialize. Organizations need training that explains both the capabilities and the limits of agentic systems, including the fact that a confident explanation is not evidence that an action is safe.
We should also be precise about what this does not mean. It does not mean agents are inherently unsafe or that organizations should stop experimenting. It means the deployment model must reflect the difference between generating information and changing the world. Once an AI system can affect external resources, it should be treated as privileged automation.
Nor does it mean that human approval solves everything. Humans can be rushed, inattentive, or unable to understand complex chains of action. Approval should be supported by clear summaries, policy checks, scope limits, and rollback mechanisms. The goal is not to place every decision on a person, it is to ensure that autonomy is bounded by controls appropriate to the consequences.
Returning to the incident that prompted this report, the responsible conclusion is therefore measured. The available account does not tell us enough to reconstruct the technical event. But it does show why accidental interactions involving major AI developers and shared AI platforms deserve attention. They expose the gap between a model's intended task and the wider ecosystem in which an agent can act.
For strategy leaders, the message is that AI security is becoming a condition of scale. Organizations may be able to tolerate manual workarounds while agents are used for experiments. They cannot rely on those workarounds when agents are embedded in procurement, software delivery, customer operations, research, government services, or critical infrastructure.
The winning architecture will not be the one that gives models the greatest freedom. It will be the one that converts capability into reliable, bounded, observable, and reversible action. That requires technical controls, careful product design, strong procurement questions, realistic testing, and a clear understanding of dependencies.
And it requires leaders to think in terms of systems rather than isolated models. The model is one component. The real operational entity includes the prompts, tools, permissions, data, repositories, external platforms, human reviewers, monitoring, and recovery processes. That entire entity needs a security and governance posture.
So the bottom line for the 8th of August 2026 is this: agent security has moved from an abstract concern to a central deployment constraint. The Hugging Face episode, as described in the supplied source, should be read less as a one-off curiosity and more as a marker of the next phase of AI operational risk.
A phase in which capable systems operate across a dense, shared, and imperfectly governed digital ecosystem. the organizations that succeed will not necessarily be those that automate fastest. They will be those that understand where autonomy creates value, where it creates unacceptable exposure, and how to stop and reverse an agent when reality diverges from its plan.
That's all for today's in-depth report. I'm Alex.
And I'm Ingo. Thank you for listening.